Good morning, everyone. Shalom Purim. Today's daf is Yud Alf in Menachos. We're at the bottom of Yud Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Mishnah says that it's got to be, when you do the kmitz, it's just got to be the kmitz. It can't be anything else in your hand. Any tarovus, any mixture whatsoever, any foreign object that's contained in the kmitz is going to render it pasul. So the Mishnah, we're going all the way back to Vav Amud Aleph.
That's the shiur.
Huh? You have to have the shiur of the kmitz.
Yeah,
and the
that's the only reason.
Right. So so you go all the way back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that kamatz v'ala biyadot tzura garga melech l'karish l'avona. So let's say you do the kmitzah, and coming up in your hand is either a stone or a little pebble of salt or a little bit of l'avona. So pasul min mishnah amar kometz. So it's no good. Why? Because you have a deficiency, because you don't have a shear. You need, when you do a kmitza, you need a shear, you need a requisite amount, and the requisite amount is that which actually fills your hand. And once you have a foreign object, that's going to substitute what should have been inside. So that's going to create a psul of chaser. You're missing. Vezu a yeser. So then, okay, so chaser we got. We got the case of chaser. Then the Mishnah says, what's the case of yeser? Shekamtsu mevarat. So let's say you go in and you get a heaping amount. Heaping amount is no good. It's got to be your fistful. And is it possible to do kmitza, get less than the requisite amount, and having no foreign object in your hands? And the Mishnah says, sure. When the Mishnah says, instead of going up against the palm, you go up against your fingertips. So that's no good, because even though you do, it is a fistful, but it's not. In other words, it's just a fingerful, fingertips full, and that's no good. The Gemara starts off kamatz v'alam b'yad sor agrag amelach al kari levon apostle on the top now of Yudal from Adalif. So kohani lamali. So the Gemara wants to know. It's a lot of cases where it's basically the same idea, right? I have a foreign object in my hand other than the actual flower. So the Gemara said tzricha. No, every one of those cases in the Mishnah is necessary. Why? Because look, if all I had was sror, the stones, pebbles. So that doesn't belong up onto the mizbech whatsoever. So that's a total foreign object. Aval melech de basa krava. But when you talk about salt, salt is basa krava. So emet iskashev itan a melech. And if all I had was salt, the lo ikve behade mincha miikara. Look, salt. I salt my karbanos. True, but I don't salt them in the very beginning. When does everything get salted? Right before it goes up onto the mizbech. Right, every karban. When we say every karban, we mean animals, birds. Menachos, every carbon gets salt. No carbon is going to be without salt, right? The Torah talks about it both in the positive and in the negative, right? You can't, right? Losash is melach, don't stop the salt. Right? Salt is going to go all the time. But that's not at the beginning of the carbon, that's right before it goes up onto the mizbeach. So there also you can kind of see it like a foreign object because it doesn't belong. However, ava lavona di ikve behade mincha mikara, but lavona. Lavona, you put them right from the very beginning. When you create your mincha is going to be flour plus oil plus lavona. So I could have argued lavona is not really a foreign object. So emet is kasher. So I might have thought that if I get a little lavona in my hand, all right, that's part of the mincha. So Kamashvalan, so the Mishnah says that's what the Gemara says that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us in all three of these cases.
Lavona is on tap usually, right?
Ah.
So how do you do it?
Perfect. Perfect. It's almost like I set you up for this.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's what I wanted to talk about. So Phil asks, how does this work now? In other words, the way the mincha operates is that you have flour, then you mix in oil, you do a little belila, you mix it together, and then you put the lavona, a layer of lavona on top. Mm-hmm. So what we've just learned is that when you do your kmitza, you go put your hand in, you take it out, but you can't have any lavona in your hand. So how is that going to work? Rashi, top Rashi on the page. Okar levon apostle mimnesha comments chaser kedei makom hakoret the im tomar. So Rashi over here asks, so how does this work? Kate said comments vala levona al hamincha. Levona is right on the top of the mincha. How's that going to work? Yechsev kol levona shel hamincha. So tshuva ledavar. Rashi says here's the answer. This is not normally the way Rashi sounds like. Right? Here's a question and here's an answer. Tshuva ledavar kishakomets mesalak levona kula letzad echad. So what you do is when you put the levona on, Then you push the Lavona over to one side. So in other words, on the top, you just take, maybe with your hands, I don't know. But you push it to one side. The Kometz HaSolos me'emtza hakli. So now what you're going to do is you're basically going to create a path so that when you put your hand in order to do Kemitza, you're going to not get any Lavona into your hand. Okay?
You can't put a Lavona on this side immediately.
Right, because the Pasuk says Al. So it sounds from the Pasuk that you got to sprinkle the Lavona on top. Right, it is counterintuitive, meaning if you know you're going in, I hear that. Yeah. If you know you're going in, so put the Lavona just on the side to begin with.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean, sprinkle? How can you sprinkle? It's a piece, no?
No. It's frankincense. Lavona is...
Put it in the clay first?
Particles of frankincense.
But then don't you scrape off all of the Lavona?
You don't scrape it off. Ultimately, yes, you will. I'm sorry, you're correct. Ultimately, you're going to scrape off all the Lavona and put it on top. But before you do that, in other words, you need the mincha. And the mincha is all three ingredients, flour, oil, and Lavona. So you need it. And from that, you have to do kemitza. So it is a little strange. You're going to be you're in an awkward position where I need to do kemitza and I can't have any Lavona come on my finger. Okay, so Rashi gives us a solution. So move the Lavona over to the side. And yes, you're right. But ultimately, the Lavona is going to be taken off and put up onto the Mizbeach. So the Gemara over here has a basic question. We said that if you have too much, so it's a psul, it's a disqualification. Why? So the Mishnah uses terminology of it's too much. Chaser is too little. Yes, sir, it's too much. Okay, and there's a shear. The Gemara wants to know, we could say something else as well. Meaning, one psul that we could be talking about is that it's too much. It's not the shear. It's not the amount. The other problem that we could point out is when you have too much in your hand, it serves as a chatzitza, that serves as a barrier separating the kemitza from your hand. Look, we know that you need to do kemitza with your hand. It's one of those avodas that the Kohen has to do with his actual hand. So that means that the Kometz actually has to make physical contact with his hand. So if I'm taking a fistful and there's too much in the fist, so whatever is too much may serve as a chatzitza.
But that's not min b'min.
Okay, so first of all, it's min b'mino. That's number one. Number two, could be... I don't know how the Gemara is looking at it, because it could be that the too much is in the interior and not on the exterior. Okay, you're right. We could be asking the same question, but let's. The Gemara is going to. I'm Rav Yirmiyah min Etzad. So Rav Yirmiyah says the simple solution to this problem is that when we say too much mivorats, look, there's two openings in the kemitza. Right, I'm showing everybody and all those listening. You have nothing to look at. It's an audio. So, but there are two openings on the side. So when we say mivorats, we could simply mean that it's piled up over here and over here. So there's no chatzitza. Meaning that which my hand actually makes contact with is the actual kemitza, that which is inside. That pocket that's created inside. It could be that there's a little too much over here, there's too much over here. We're about to learn in the Gemara, and we've talked about this already, but it's Daf Yomi, you hear things more than once, which is good, is that we're gonna have to smooth off the top and smooth off the bottom. So you're gonna level here and you're gonna level here. And the point is that if you don't level, it's pasul. Why? Because it's yeser. Because it's too much. Okay, and it segues beautifully to the next Gemara. Amalei Abayi L'Rava Ketzer Kamtzin. So how do you do it? Yeah, so how is Kemitza done? So Amalei Ketzer Kamtzin Inshi. So the Gemara gives perhaps one of the most profound answers to such a basic question. You know, like people do Kemitza. Now, Now Rashi over here, right? We're gonna see this term of the Gemara Kedikam Tzinshi a couple times today, right? Just like people do Kemitza, you know how people do it. That's how you do it. I wish I could give an answer like that all the time to these questions. Like it's done. Rashi over here writes Mashma Bechol Etzba Osav. That when you have to do kemitza, you do with all your fingers. Now, the reason why Rashi says it over here, and we know that's not correct. We know that kemitza is not done with all your fingers. We know you're only using three fingers in the process, is because the Gemara is about to ask a question. So, without Rashi, you'd be like, "What's the Gemara asking?" Now that now that Rashi explains what was understood by the answer, so now we're going to segue beautifully into the next part of the Gemara, which is, Gemara says, no, you don't. You don't use all your fingers. Okay, later on this morning, we're going to use the same expression, kitakam simshi. Rashi is going to explain it differently, but that's not a question, meaning because Rashi over there is going to explain it as it's understood by the Gemara. So over here, kitakam simshi, you know, like the way people do kmitza. And at this point, the Gemara is thinking with all five fingers, esve. So the Gemara says, we know that's not true. Zuzera, zu kmitza, zu ama, zu etzba, zu godel. Okay? You're learning Aaron, you're learning Ksufas, right? So this should be familiar.
Yeah, right.
Right? So the Gemara over there, as the Gemara over here does, is it points to all five fingers. Like, every finger is significant. Now, I'll say, right? We certainly wouldn't want to be without one of them, but halachically, every finger has legal significance. Zu zera, zu kmitza, zu ama, zu etzba, zu godel. Okay, pinky is called the zeres, the finger next to it is called the kmitza finger, right? This finger over here, I don't know what it's called in English.
But ring finger.
Ring finger? Good. So ring finger is called the kmitza finger. The ama, that's your center finger. Etzba is your pointer, and godel is your thumb. Okay, let's go through these Rashis. Rashi's going to explain the Gemara, that's it, by the way. The Gemara's, you know, Gemara says, and you know what they mean. So, okay, so if we don't know what they mean, so that's why we have Rashi. Rashi goes through each one of them, explains the halachic significance of each one. Zeres says Rashi, etzba ketana, mimenu maschel hazeres, v'nafkamina lamidas choshen zeres arka. Okay, so zeres is your pinky, says Rashi. It's the smallest one out there. And the nafkamina, meaning what's the halachic significance? That's how we measure the choshen, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. It's zeres arka, it's a pinky in length. Okay? Yeah. Well, that's the whole choshen? Is one pinky's length? I don't know.
Is it the gap from the thumb to the...
Or is it this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. That's much better. Right?
That's not
okay. All right, that's right. Your thumb to the pinky. Okay, next. Kmitza, zu kmitza, mincha maschil... I'm sorry. Mimena maschil hakometz, meotza etzba she'etzel haktana. So why is this called the kmitza finger, the next one? Because kmitza. Because that's what we do kmitza with. Shemimenu maschil hakometz, meotza etzba. You start the kometz over here with this finger. You know, it starts over here. It's going to end over here by the pointer, but still, it starts over here. Okay, so that takes us to the second finger. What about the center finger? Mimenu modedin kol amos abinyan v'akelim lefishi aruka mikulan. Okay, this is how we measure. With our center finger, with our middle finger. Now, what does that mean? So, right, by the way, Stu, you're so right, because over here, it means you go from the elbow, you run up the elbow, you run up your hand, you go all the way to the top of your center finger. That's called an ama. Oh, that's called an arm's length. An arm's length is not your entire arm, it's from the elbow all the way up to the top of your middle finger. Now, by the way, it's not doesn't seem like an objective measurement because all of us have different body lengths and all of us different arm lengths. So there is an average. Rashi over here goes on to describe, how do we know about this average? Rashi says, V'shtei amos hayu b'shushan habira. Right, that's like, you're right. I was like, wait a second. I'm about to read about that later today. So V'shtei amos hayu b'shushan habira. There were two amos located in Shushan habira, in the capital Shushan. Shtei maklo shehin ama. There are two sticks, right? Much like we have in Washington, D.C., right? There's a yardstick, and there's a... Right, there's weights and measures. So same thing over in Shushan Habira. So, Shtei Maklos She'enama V'hein Mod Namos Abinyan V'osan Maklos Nimdadu Ba'oso Etzpa Shehu Aruch. And that's how it's measured. By the way, he says Shushan Habira over here. You know he's not talking about the capital Shushan. No, yes or no? No, he's not. He's not talking about the capital Shushan. When the building was built, certain parts of the building of the Beis HaMikdash were named. So this Shushan Habira is one of the walls, one of the chambers in the Second Temple. It was called Shushan Habira, right? Because, you know, all the people that came from Shushan, right? New York is not, you know, it's because people came from England, and you understand. Okay, next one. So up to the pointer now. Zu etzba, letabla akon etzba badam. So over here, it's interesting. Up until now, we talked about in terms of measurement. Pinky, ring finger, middle finger. So those in terms of measurements. Over here, we talk about the pointer. What's the halachic significance of the pointer? Tvila. Tvila badam. Could be that that's the measurement. Could be, remember, that when I put the blood into a cup, I need, from the very origination, I need enough blood so that I can actually sprinkle each time. So it could be that we're talking in terms of measurement, although that's a little bit of a stretch. And finally, we're up to the thumb of the godel. So what's that? Lebahonis de mitzara. So that is mitzara. We talked about that all yesterday. That for the right thumb of the mitzara, he gets a blood application, plus he gets an oil application. And okay, good. All right. So now, back to the Gemara. Okay, that was a little bit of a tangent, but back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that you do kmitza with all five fingers? It's not true. You start with the ring finger, with the second finger. So the Gemara answers very simply, Ela lahashvos, So Gemara says, correct. What you need all fingers for is for the smoothing out. So in other words, it's the three middle fingers. Take your three middle fingers, go in, take the flour out. You're still going to need your thumb and your pinky. You're not using it for purposes of measurement, but you're using it for clearing it out, smoothing it out, so that you only have flour contained in your fist. Skip parentheses. Hey, Chiyavit, Amarav Zucha, Bartub, Yamarav, Amarav. So the Gemara gives us here a description. Chofesh, Shlosha, Tzmosav, Asha, Megiyal, Pas. Take your three fingers, put it over your palm. And you do kmitza. So Tanya Namihachi, we learned on the right. So Malokum So, right? Last week's parsha. Yocho Mivorats. I might have thought it could be heaping. Tamalamar. Bikum So. It's got to be an exact amount. Ibikum So. Yocho Berosha Etzbosav. I might have thought just my fingertips, meaning not going over the palm, but just going over the fingertips. Tamalamar. Malokum So. That's what you get from the word a full finger amount. So that means fingers over palm. Hakeitzad chofesh shlosha etzbosav al pasi adav v'kametz. Okay, good. We have now a very formal description of the actual act of kmitza, fingers over palm. In other words, hand in, finger over palm. Take your hand out. You level over here and over here, and so good. Now, we talked about different types of menachos already from day one when we learned menachos. We talked about the machavas and we talked about the marcheshes. Now, what do we describe the machavas and the marcheshes? They are different pans. Machavas is a frying pan, like a thin frying pan, and the marcheshes is deep dish. And so when we prepare our menachos, so as we discussed already from day one, the pan kind of tells you what it is. It is a machavas, it is a marcheshes. Interesting note, we'll talk more about this later on in the Masechta. With your machavas and with your macheshes, when do I do kmitza? After I fry it. After frying, I then break it up into pieces and I do kmitza afterwards. So, the Gemara is going to ask a pretty basic logistic question. When it's just flour or flour and oil, it's pretty straightforward. I put my hand in, I take it out. It's pretty easy to work with. However, the Gemara over here is going to ask a pretty basic question. By your machavas and by your marcheshes. So first you fry, then you break it up. It's crackers. It's basically now crackers. So, right, breadcrumbs, if you will. So how do you, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to smooth off, to level off the sides when it's already been baked or fried. So, b'machavas, marcheshes, mochik, begolom, elamalo, betzmo, ketanim, elamata. So really, it's not different, meaning you're going to use your thumb and you're going to use your finger. You're just going to need a lot more force, a lot more muscle. And the Gemara points out, this is difficult, right? This is going to be a challenge. To do the leveling off of the machvas and the marcheshes when they're already been cooked. So it's not just, it just doesn't slide off. Like flour would by itself. You have to break it. It's harder. So the Gemara points out it's a difficult one. Now the way the Gemara originally points it out to us, it's the most difficult one. Then you already know, if you remember from Zvachim, we're going to have a small correction over here. Zui v'sula v'aika malika v'aika chafina. There are other avodas which are also really hard. Malika, having the thumb insert his fingernail into the back of the neck of the bird, and malika, you do it while holding the bird in your right hand. Meaning it's, I guess just inserting your fingernail is hard enough, but then to up the ante, if you will, you're going to have to hold the bird in your right hand and do malika to the bird in your right hand. That's really tricky. Chafina is taking the Ketores into the Beis HaMikdash Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol that is, and transferring the Ketores from the spoon into your hand while no one else is helping you. And remember, it is a palmful of Ketores.
Right.
So that means that you got to hold the spoon in your hand, you got to move the spoon off your hand and allow the Ketores to come into your hand. Okay, it's really difficult, it's really tricky. So the Gemara says, okay, so add those to the list, no big deal. Okay, fine, correction. Some of the most difficult of the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash is leveling off by the marcheshes and the machvas. Amar Papa Pshitali Malokum So Kidikam Seinshi. So Rav Papa says, look, you know what? It's Pasha. It's obvious to me that when we say Malokum So Kidikam Seinshi, we mean like people normally do Kamitsa. Okay, now let's look at Rashi again. Second time Rashi comments on Kidikam Seinshi, but here Rashi is going to explain it Kipshuto, the simple pshat, meaning you know how people do Kamitsa. Rashi writes, Machniside etzbaosav, the dochek bekomet, the hakemach nisnach besoch yado. Putting it into the side of the bowl. Meaning, not the side of the bowl. Putting your hand in, right, from the side, going into the flour. And then cupping your hand while it's in the flour. Take that's kid that comes to inchi. That's how people normally do it.
Is that how you avoid the lavona too?
I don't know, I'm not sure. But meaning, what the Gemara is suggesting is that there's an intuitive nature to Kamitsa, right? In other words, there's going to be some weird ways to do Kamitsa, right? The Gemara is going to go over this, putting your palm down into the flour and kind of like sinking your hand into the flour. It's weird. I guess nothing is really weird if that's the way people do it, but that's not the way people do it. People go in, right, from the side of the hand into it, and then cup over.
Right.
So give me just one second. So the Gemara says by Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says I have a question. Kamatz beroshe etzbosav mai. So the Gemara says okay. So if there is in fact an intuitive way to do kamitsa, which is from the side, what if you do counterintuitive? But I get the job done. I did it. Just not the way it's normally done. The Gemara goes through a number of quote-unquote strange scenarios. Roshe etzba'osav, what if I dive bomb right into the mincha, right, Rashi? Sheikhniz roshe etzba'osav v'kemach, ufas yado kal v'kemach, v'kometz melokum so, ad pasyo kitikuno mahu. I get the job done, but I dive bomb into it with my fingers going down. Okay, what about that? What about minatz dodin? Right, minatz dadim. Rashi explains over here what I described earlier. I bury my hand into the kemach. Right, what's it called? Right, palm up, go right down and kind of bury my hand into the flour. How about that? Or other strange ways to do it. Mimata lamala. Okay, from the wrong direction. Meaning, instead of going over here, I kind of submerge my hand, right, with fingers pointing up. So the Gemara, and all these questions is teku. Meaning, I don't know. I don't know. Meaning, there is a conventional / intuitive way to do it, right, like that, like everyone would normally think, and that's the correct way to do it. And if I do it in other ways, if I get the job done, the Gemara says, I don't know. I don't know if that works. Okay. Amar. Okay, now we brought it up, so Gemara is going to discuss it just very briefly. Chafina. Chafina is the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, there, once again, if I ask you, you need to take two palmfuls of Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the first thing the Kohen has to do is he has to go to this pile of Ketores, and he has to actually take two palmfuls. Now, again, I say to you, there's an intuitive way to do it. There's a quote-unquote conventional way to do it, which would be to take your hands and just cup them right underneath and lift.
Scoop it out
like that. That's what would be considered intuitive / conventional. And the Gemara is going to go through the same discussion over here. What if I do it in non-conventional ways, but I get the job done?
Is that considered a 3 months?
Huh?
Is that considered 3 months?
So we start with, right, 368 months are prepared from the beginning of the year. 365 for the year, and then 3 for Yom Kippur. Right. But 3 doesn't mean that's how much you're going to use. That's how much you start with. Then when you put your hands in, you're going to take of the 3 mana. Huh. So there's going to be leftover. And then, to get to the complicated discussion, which we're not going to talk about right now, how to roll over that extra to next year. And eventually there's going to be so much rollover that some years we don't even need to prepare. And that's what you read about every morning in your avoda. Right, once every, what are the numbers?
70 years.
One every 70 years, right, you read it, I don't.
3 times a day.
Amara Papa Pshitali Malochov Navke Dechafni Inshi Baira Papa Chofen Broshe Atzbosav Mahu. So again, same style of questioning over here. What if I go in fingertips, dive bomb with my fingertips? I mean, what if I go with the back of my hands, kind of bury my hands into the chafina, into the kataris? Chofen Bezu Bezu Karvan Zu Eitzel Zu Mahu. Here, what if I do this? What if I go scoop over here, and put the two scoops together after I already taken it out? So the Gemara says, look, take, I don't know. Amar Papa Pshita Li Malochu Fnav Kedechafni Inshi. What did I just do? I just went back? Yeah. I skip, I reread.
No, I'm...
Okay, Bayra Papa, next one. Davke Lekomets Bedafne Demana Mai. Okay. Just more intuitive questions about the actual Kemitza. Okay, we know, we've learned already a couple of times from the beginning of the Menachos. After the Kemitza, what do? I take it and I put it into another clay. Kipshuto. I just simply drop it into the bottom of another clay. Kipshuto. What if I stick it on the side? You know how they used to bake pizza, right? They put it, they stick it on the side of the oven. So what if I stick it on the side? My tokli beinan vayika. So look, is the purpose to just get it into the clay and done? Check. Or does it need a hanacha? Does it actually need to go in? Again, if you go to your carbon model, right, and I confuse you all the time. Do I make a comparison? Do I not make a comparison? But if I do, so you know, when I do Kabbalah Saddam, obviously, I know it's a liquid. I'm aware, but obviously, with Kabbalah Saddam, it drops into the bottom of the kli. There's a hanach; it's actually placed into the bottom of the kli. So maybe in the komets, now if I go to Menachos, maybe in the komets, it's similar. It has to be on the bottom of the kli. So Valeka. So take over the Gemara says again. I don't know. I don't know. Yes.
Rabbi, when we do we don't have mixture. We just have flour. How do you throw flour to the thing?
Well, I know it's flour and oil.
It's oil. No,
I understand, but the other methods, because we don't do
there's
it.
Water also.
And there's water also. Right, so it's flour, it's oil. It's sticky. It's a sticky substance. It could stick to the side.
I understand.
Right, once it's baked, yeah, you're right. I don't know if this question would be good for the machvas and the marcheshes.
By two machvas, we don't have mixture. Sota doesn't bring. She brings.
Okay, fine. So, right, this question wouldn't work for some of the menachos. You're correct. Marbar Avashi Havchilaman of Adavke Havchilaman of Adavke Lekomet Bar Ase Damana Mai. What if I turn the kli upside down and take the kemitz and kind of stick it to the bottom? So my hanachah b'socha b'inam vayigo dilma kitikano b'inam v'leika. So over here again could be my suggestion. I don't know if this is pshat in the Gemara, but could be that again we want to know. Look, technically it's in the bowl, right? That's check. Or it's not kitikuno. It's not the proper way to do it. And it could be that what the Gemara over here is struggling with is look that by Kabbalah Saddam that's not going to work. Right, to take it in and turn it upside down, and it could be that we're just trying to figure out how does the parallel work between Kabbalah Saddam and the Kemitza of the Mincha. Either way, take it. The Gemara says, "Look, I don't know." Okay. Next Mishnah. Ketzad Osef Poshet is at Tzvosav Apasiado. The first part of the Mishnah is funny. It's like a review of what we just learned. In fact, it's such a review. Some take it out. Shita Mekubetzis and O Zion. Says take all this first part of the Mishnah out. It doesn't belong here, right? It makes sense. Meaning after just learning the Gemara we just learned, Now you're going to get to this part of the Mishnah, and it's what we just did that already. I understand the difference between Gemara and Mishnah, right? Historically, they're not the same, but still, in other words, the Baal HaGemara wouldn't be writing all this had the Mishnah, you know, said it straight out and not quote the Mishnah. Anyway, Ariba Shmeina Chaser Shmeina Chisa Levanta Psula. All right, too much oil is no good. Too little oil is no good, and too little Levona is no good, disqualifies. So, 2 points of observation, and then we're going to start with the Gemara. Number one, too much oil, too little oil, how much oil are we talking about? So, generally speaking, we talk in terms of a log, right? One log of oil for the flour. So, too much or too little means either it's over a log or it's under a log. By Levona, you see what just happened by Levona? It only says too little. It doesn't say too much Levona, right? Seems from the Mishnah that there's no problem with too much Levona. Okay, we'll come back to that. Heichidami Riba Shmeina. So when it says too much oil, what does that mean, too much oil? So Amar Belazer Kagon Shifer Shal Shnei Lugim. So from the very get-go, you are mafish, you set aside two lug of oil. Okay. Okay, that's... So the Gemara says that's the suggestion of what it means too much. So the Gemara says, why are you making things so complicated? Right? And I know you can accuse me of that. But why you have to make things so complicated? Meaning, the simple pshat in the Mishnah could just simply be, I don't know, you have your mincha, you added just one log of shemen like you were supposed to, and then someone accidentally added a little bit of his own shemen into it. Or shemen, which was not consecrated, got mixed into it. Why are you giving me this scenario? Well, I set aside two lugin. What did you do that for? Now, do you want to suggest that the reason why you didn't offer the quote-unquote simpler examples is maybe because that doesn't possible, meaning non-consecrated oil. That doesn't possible. Or shemen de chaverta, oil of a neighbor. That doesn't possible. You want to suggest that? Gemara says you can't. Maskefla Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Alamiata Minchas Chote De Pasol Ba Shemen Heichi Mishkachala. Look, we have the Minchas Chote, the sinner's mincha. There's no oil in it. Now, I mean, in other words, even from the get-go, right? It is a mincha without oil. Now, we also know that by the sinner's mincha, if any oil is contributed to it, it passels it. By definition, that oil is either going to be chulin oil or your friend's oil, not your own oil, because there's no such thing as your own oil. You say, I'm setting aside oil for my minchas chote. There's no kedusha to it. It doesn't exist. So heichi mishkachala, idi da halesla, idi chulin de chavrei hamar lo pasul. So it's got to be that either your friend's oil or non-consecrated oil gets mixed in. So don't tell me that the oil that we're talking about over here has to be your own oil. No, it could be your friend's oil. It could be just non-consecrated oil. Rabbi Elazar lo mi baikamer. So what's Rabbi Elazar doing over here? You set aside from the get-go two lugan of oil. So the Gemara says what Rabbi Elazar is telling us over here is the following chiddush: the style is the style of lo mi baikamer, lo mi bai dechulin. Look, if I have non-consecrated oil that gets mixed in, or if I get oil of your friend that gets mixed in, that for sure is no good. Right? That's extra oil. That's yes, sir. That's extra. That's for sure no good. But if I set aside two lugan of oil, you can make the argument, look, me, I set it aside. So I could argue that this will be good and that will be good. They'll both be good. Kamashman, the Chiddush says, no. Even though you set aside two lugan, still, it's got to be one, not two. Umanale le Rav Elazar, ha? Amarav amasis and kashise. So the Gemara says, okay, but why did Rav Elazar get to this point? Meaning, something in the Mishnah must have tipped him off. And the Gemara says, yep, something in the Mishnah did tip him off. Ma'ir ya detani riba shmeina. Because if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah is talking in some sort of possessive, right? It's oil. If it you add too much of your own oil. So yeah, Shmeinah, Lisne, the Mishnah could have just formulated very simply, Ribala Shemen. So Rabbi Elazar is teaching us, the Mishnah is giving us, it's alluding to a chiddush. Even though it's your own oil, it doesn't matter. It's one log and only one log of shemen, even if it's oil that you yourself were mafresh. Okay, the technical issues Tosas goes through over here, meaning how can you be mafresh too from the very beginning if there's only one that's going to be good enough? All right. Technical issues. Achisa levonta tana rabbanan. When the bomb of the amud chasva amda al korad echad psula shnei kartim ksheira. If you are down to right, the brisa says if you're down to one korat, one kernel of levona, your pasul, two kernels. That's okay. Kshera. Diver Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Amar al korad echad kshera pachus mikam psula, and Rabbi Shimon goes all the way down to one korat. If you have one kernel of levona, that would be fine. Now you'll say to yourself, "That's not our Mishnah," and you would be correct. That's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you need a full shear of levona. By the way, how much is a shear of levona? How much levona do you have to put on your mincha? Okay, it is a tough question because the Gemara doesn't say, I'm sorry, the Mishnah doesn't say, and the Pasuk doesn't say. We're going to learn it later on. Now, how much Lavona? Fistful. Fistful of Lavona. A comet of Lavona. The shear of Lavona. I know it's a little confusing, but the amount of Lavona that I put into a mincha is going to be whatever I contain in my fist. Again, three fingers over the palm. Okay, it'll be excessively clear that that's correct, right? I'll show you Tosfos in just a moment. Tosfos says straight out, a fistful of levona. So the Gemara now takes a tally. V'hatanya, right? Komets of levona shechasu kol shehu pasul. So we have a brisa, and the brisa says komets ulevona shechasu kol shehu pasul. If it's missing any amount, it's pasul. So tani kar levona shechasu kol shehu pasul. So the Gemara says, look, first of all, that Braisa, we can add a word to the Braisa. Oh, I mean, we can't, but you know what I mean. The Amoraim can. We'll add a word to the Braisa, and it means a kernel of Lavona. If I have anything less than a kernel, it's no good. V'yisema, or kam Lavona ba memincha, kam Lavona ba lifnei atzma. Or we could say, look, with different types of Lavona. Lavona offered independently, by the way, you can offer Lavona by itself. Much like you can offer oil by itself, you can offer Lavona by itself, versus Lavona that comes together with a mincha. Lavona that comes together with a mincha. Okay, so there, the Lavona is not the main attraction. So there, you can miss a little bit of Lavona and that would be fine. Lavona that comes by itself, where the Lavona is the main attraction, so there you need a full shear. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, I'm sorry. Now, the Gemara summarizes everything we just learned. Kimo machlokus badavar. Look, there are three positions over here. Number one, there's the position of Rav Meir. Where do we see Rav Meir? We did. It's called the Mishnah. Stam Mishnah ka Rav Meir. When you see a Mishnah and it's anonymous, so your default position is always going to be that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. So kimo machlokus badavar. Meir sever komets betchila vekomets besof. Look, you need a komets. Here's the Gemara says it. You need a full komets of Lavona. From the beginning to the end. What does that mean, beginning to end? So Rashi over here explains, beginning means b'shas kemitza b'inan shiye b'kli malok komets lavona uvaha kulu moda demitzchila by komets ki delfinim egzereshava perka omarei alai isara. Okay, everyone agrees, you start off with the komets. The amount you need from the very beginning is one full komet. So that's, Rashi explains, that's tchila. All right, so there's not going to be any vacillation over there, that's comments. Sof means what happens when you get to the end, right? When you have to burn it. So pointer of mayor, how much do you need? Again, full comments. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Shita number two, Rabbi Yehuda sever comments betchila ushnei karton besof. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw at the bottom of the previous page, he says that you need to start with a full comments of Lavona, and then end with no less than two kernels of Lavona. And Rabbi Shimon Sofer comments betchila v'korat echad b'sof. And as long as you have one kernel, says Rabbi Shimon, so that'll be enough at the end. V'shloshtam mikra echad darshu. then we say that all three positions really are emanating from the same pasuk, and we're debating how to understand that one pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ve'es kol halavona asher al hamencha kol halavona." It's funny, in English, really, you hear it either way. Kol halavona can either mean all the lavona, or kol halavona, any of the lavona. Mm-hmm. Right? It works. It actually works in English as well. The ambiguity of what the word kol means. Usually, I would say, usually kol means all of it. But the Gemara says, Rav Meir Savar Adi Isa Lavona Di'ikva Bahadim Mincha Mi'ikara. Rav Meir says, that's what I'm going to do with the word kol. Kol means all of it. Rav Yudah Savar Kol Afilu Chad Karek. Kol means any of it. Which means even one kernel. Now you'll say, wait a second, Rav Yudah didn't say one kernel, Rav Yudah said two kernels. That's where we get the word S. S is a ribui, S is including. So what are we going to include? One plus one. Two kernels. V'chad kored es l'rabbos kored acher. Rabbi Shimon es lo darshan. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't darshan the word es. Right? Remember, es Hashem Elokecha tira. You have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the es coming to include over there? So Shimon Hamsuni says, I don't know. I'm gonna stop with my whole thesis of es. No darshaning es. And
so he never darshans es.
Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, that's what our Gemara says, right? For further discussion on this issue, see Tosfos says, I can show you a couple places where Rabbi Shimon darshans the word S, and Tosfos therefore has to try to make peace. But, okay, in the meantime, however, for us, let's just say like the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon doesn't darshan the word S.
Here.
Thank you. Right. This whole debate is by Levona that comes together with Mincha, Abab, Levona, Abab, Ifnei Atzma. But if I'm bringing Levona by itself, independent, Derako, Kometz, Betchil, Vekometz, Betzof. There, the Kometz is a main attraction. I need beginning, I need end. Lahachi, Yitzterich, Asher, La Mincha, De Behadi, Mincha, In, Befnei Atzma, Lo. Okay. And that's what I get.
Conceptually, is it because the Levona is comes to like the Matir? So if you do like one Zerika, the Matir for a meeting?
Something like that, right. Lavona in a mincha, in a standard mincha, is not the main. It's an accessory. Necessary accessory, but it's an accessory. So therefore, there's more latitude, leeway, in terms of how much do I need to end off with. If the lavona is what you're bringing, so then that's it. It is a lavona. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Machlokes b'lavona ba im mincha, v'lavona ba b'zichin, there's one other Lavona that comes in for the discussion, that's Lavona with the Lechem upon him. Two spoonfuls of Lavona are put on top of the 12 loaves of Lechem upon him. And then we know on Shabbos, when we are going to replace it with new Lechem upon him, give the old Lechem upon him to the Kohanim to eat, right? Six to one Mishmar, six to the next Mishmar. So we burn the Lavona. How much Lavona? So I just said two spoonfuls, but not really two spoonfuls, two kamitzas worth. The spoon is going to be the size of standard kamitza. So the Gemara says there, no discussion. You need two kamitzas in the beginning, you need two kamitzas at the end. Pshita, ma'udetem kevin dabahadi lechem isa ka'asher ala mincha damya kamash malan. And the Gemara says, look, I may have thought differently. Why? Because those bezichin are not really independent lavonas. It's really lavona part of a mincha. But as we noted already a couple times in the Masechta, it's a little bit different. It's not your typical sprinkle on top of the mincha. It actually stays in the spoon. So they are dependent and independent. They're really both. So I might have thought we should treat it like Lavona with a mincha. Yeah. And which means that you don't have to have a full kamitza, or in this case, full two kamitzas at the end. Kamash Milan. Pligi bar Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yitzhak Navcha chanam ha-machlokas b'Lavona ba'i ma-mincha ba'Lavona ba'i b'fnei atzma t'ivar ha-kol kamots b'tchil v'komets b'sof v'chanam ha-machlokas b'zu kach machlokas b'zu. And then the Gemara ends off by saying that there is one opinion that says even Lavona by itself, same achlokas, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, how much do I need at the end? Do I need a full kometz, two particles, one particle? Chiser levonta psula ha-yisuk sheira. Okay, Gemara makes a simple diuk in the Mishnah. We made the diuk. The Mishnah, when it talks about levona, doesn't talk about too much. From our Mishnah, does not seem to be too much. There's no issue of too much levona. The Hatanya Yasir Psula, the Gemara says, okay, but I have a Braisa. And the Braisa says, too much is no good. Amar Rami Bar Chama Kagon Sheyefish Lashnei Kameitzim. Again, the Gemara goes to the place where, from the very get-go, I had two komitzes from the very beginning. I set aside two komitzes of Lavona. Amar Rami Bar Chama Yefish Lashnei Kameitzim V'Avarecha Mehem Kodem Kameitza Lohukva. Look, two is too much. But if I set aside two, and I lost one of them before I actually did the kemitza of the mincha, that's okay, because you weren't koveya. In other words, the curtain wasn't lifted yet, right? So in other words, we're still in prep time. So as long as during that time I lost one of my lavonas, that would be good. Echad kemitza, I'm sorry, acher kemitza. But if I do it, if the two kemitzas of Lavona are there after I do the komitz to the mincha, hukva'a, that's no good. Okay, similar scenario. You only need two kemitzas of Lavona for your lechem upon him. What if you set aside four? So again, avdu shnai mehem kodem stiluk bezichin la hukva, lachar stiluk bezichin hukva. Again, same story. If before I remove the two spoonfuls, I lost two, losing here would be a good thing. Because then I only have a balance of two, and that would be great. But if after I was misalik the bezichin, after I took out the spoonfuls, only afterwards did I lose two, that's no good, because once I remove the spoonfuls, now, right, we are koveya. The stage has been set. Hasu lamali, I know hach. The Gemara says again, that seems to be redundant. Ma'od etema. Kaven debarir komet dida. Kaven shehigiaz mana laforka. Keman deprika damya. Kamash malan. The Gemara says, same, we had this thought process earlier as well. Look, this lavona over here stands by itself. So after the time already for it to be taken off, you could say, look, it's as if it's already been removed. It's as if it's already been separated. And we should say already by that point in time, Rashi said earlier, midday on Shabbos, we should say koveya. In other words, it's set. Even though I haven't actually physically removed the spoons yet, and the point the Gemara is making is that it's a thought process, but it's not one that we follow. Meaning, we don't consider it to be koveya until I physically remove the spoons off the loaves of the lechem upon him. Good. Okay, today, very basic daf in terms of how we do kemitza. We describe the three fingers onto the palm, the leveling off. The Mishnah talked about doing unconventional kemitza, unconventional chafina. The Gemara ends off with a series of tekus over there. The Mishnah talked about too much, a kemitza has too much or too little. Right? We qualified what the scenario of the Mishnah is. And then, how much Lavona do I need at the very end? Three-way machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara followed up with, why doesn't the Mishnah mention too much Lavona? How come the Mishnah doesn't go there? And we discuss that as well. Okay, good. Tomorrow we'll start from the new Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. Hananya ben Akash Amar Sakash Bakut Zakh Sofi Khachir Mitzvah Shinema and Khafizamatiko Yagotra Vyadir.